Lots of messages on listening to new music. I'm 55, says this listener, and I listen to new music all the time, greatly helped by your colleague John Creedon and Spotify. See, power of radio still there. We've kept up with new music since our kids were around 6 or 7. We buy every new Now CD for listening to on the car journey. I didn't even know they were still around. I remember those from years ago. Paul in Leixlip, not happy, not happy at all. He says, Slane Castle gigs, Thin Lizzy, Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Santana, Bruce Springsteen, Queen, Harry Styles. It's just not right, says Paul in Leixlip. And David is 57 and heading to Electric Picnic on Friday once again and can't wait. And he obviously doesn't feel as though he will be out of place or that he will need to wear a glittery top. Maybe he will wear a glittery top, a glittery crop top. 51551 for your messages. We'll come back to those again a little bit later on. Now, though, how does our welfare package for Ukrainian refugees compare with our European neighbours? We're going to look at how governments in Poland, the United Kingdom and Ireland are dealing with the situation. But we're going to start today in Germany. And I'm joined by Kate Brady, freelance journalist in Berlin. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So to start with, tell us how many Ukrainian refugees have arrived in Germany in the 6 months since the war began.
Okay, so, well, as the numbers currently stand, we're looking at least 970,000 Ukrainians who arrived in Germany, and that was the numbers up until about a week ago. But, of course, we do know since that some people have moved back. We don't have specific numbers here in Germany of how many people have been making that journey back to Ukraine, but, of course, for the large part, many of them have stayed here in Berlin. The Labour Ministry reporting last week that huge numbers are now integrated into the labour market
okay.
as well.
And Berlin is the first port of call in the main, is it?
Exactly. Given its geographical location, as well as one of the first big cities that people will hit once they've crossed through Poland. So a lot of Ukrainian refugees have initially been arriving in Berlin, a lot of them passing as well through the what's called a reception centre, which has been set up at the former Tegel airport. Some of them sometimes sleeping over there for a few nights before they then move on to longer term accommodation.
So how does it work then? When they arrive, they have to register, don't they, for temporary protection?
Exactly. Well, up until now, people haven't been obliged to actually to register. You could have stayed here visa-free. That is going to change, however, at the end of the month, so just within the next couple of days. So as of the 1st of September, people arriving from Ukraine will have to register for temporary protection. Otherwise, they'll only be able to stay for 90 days and then leave for 90 days. So similar to the usual rules if you're coming from outside the Schengen zone.
So I know that you're dealing there in Germany with a housing crisis too. So in terms of accommodation, how is it working?
So it's a real mixed bag around the country. As you say, Germany, like a lot of European cities right now, European countries, I should say, is locked into a huge housing crisis. Berlin itself being one of the worst affected cities. So a lot of people who, if they don't have relatives or friends or have already been able to secure some kind of accommodation here in Berlin, they are moving on to other cities. Again, in some people's cases where they already have relatives. But there is a real mixed bag of scenarios. Some people are staying in emergency accommodation that's been set up by local councils. Sometimes this can be in what's often described as container villages. At the same time, there's also hundreds of help organisations that have been set up as well, with volunteers still opening their doors, families opening their doors to whether it's spare rooms or landlords and hotels that get it, giving, you know, putting out rooms either at reduced rates or in some cases for free until people can find something longer term. But of course, given the squeeze on finding accommodation for people who are already in Germany right now, some people have, there have been some really nightmarish reports of people shuttling back and forth between different places and not necessarily being able to find somewhere long term as quickly as they might have hoped.
And what welfare payments are the Ukrainian refugees entitled to there?
So if you sign up for temporary protection, you are then you're able to claim social benefits and standard healthcare. So at the moment, you're looking at around a payment of around €449 per month. And on top of that, through the social welfare office and also the job seekers office, you can also then apply for extra coverage of your rent and energy bills, for example. And that's something that people who are housing Ukrainians temporarily or even for the long term, they can also apply through that to try and get some extra support to cover the bills as well. But that said, there isn't any upfront financial support per se for a family in Berlin, let's say, who's taken in a Ukrainian couple, for example. There's no financial support for them upfront, but they can then apply through the social welfare office.
Okay, and the treatment for Ukrainian refugees, it differs from refugees coming from other countries, does it?
Yes, so exactly. I mean, the fact that until 2 days' time, that Ukrainians could come and stay here visa-free, they didn't have to apply for asylum, they didn't have to jump through as many bureaucratic hoops over so many bureaucratic hurdles that, for example, a lot of, just as one example, a lot of Syrian refugees faced back in 2015, 2016, there was an aim this time to make the process more seamless and so that there wasn't as much bureaucracy. That said, just anecdotally speaking, a lot of Ukrainians that I've spoken to, at least, about their experience of dealing with the authorities since they got here, have said there are still an awful lot of bureaucratic hoops to jump over. And of course, as always, you know, there's been, in some cases, issues with the language as well. So the common language a lot of the time has been English in some communities. Calling on people, obviously, that can speak Ukrainian, but also Russian. That said, I have also spoken to some Ukrainians who don't want to speak Russian anymore.
Yes.
So there has been some hurdles there when it comes to dealing with some of the bureaucracy.
Okay, Kate, thank you very much. That's Kate Brady there in Berlin. So that's the situation in Germany. Let's go to Poland next. I'm joined on the line now from there by Jonas Jasnoszewski, a journalist for RMFM Radio in Poland. Jonas, thank you very much for joining us. We know that very many Ukrainians arrived in Poland over the last 6 months. How many Ukrainians have arrived there?
Since the war began, about 6 million Ukrainians arrived to Poland. 4 million of them already came back to Ukraine, and probably a few hundred thousand left Poland and went to Germany, to other European Union countries. But now, according to Border Guard data, in Poland, about 3.5 million Ukrainians staying in Poland. Not everybody is a refugee. Some of them lived in Poland before the war started, because we had a large, about 1.5 million community of Ukrainians in Poland before the war started. But many of them, because it was mostly the men who worked here as a constructor, etc., etc. So many of them came back to defend their country. And when the war began.
And for the people, Jonas, who have arrived in Poland from Ukraine, what are the rules? What do they have to do in order to get temporary protection?
They have to sign up for PESEL number. PESEL number is some kind of ID number, some kind of social security number. And having this number gives some kind of privileges, like you can apply for monthly donation for monthly social benefit, which is about 100 euro monthly for each minor child you have. They were also always given a single donation, about it was 300 zlotys, which is about 80 euro. It was one-time welfare, and the 500 zlotys is being paid each month. What else? The Poles who hosted Ukrainians in their homes could have also applied for 40 zlotys a day donation for hosting the Ukrainian, if the Ukrainian signed up for PESEL number. This number also gives you a possibility to use public healthcare. So this is the privilege that Ukrainians have.
And tell me, there's no cap on the number of refugees being accepted into Poland. Does everybody agree that that is the right strategy?
Yes, I think that, nobody has doubts about that we have to help. And Marcin Ociepa, the Vice Minister of Defense, of Polish Defense, said in the beginning of the war, being asked how many people we can accept, we can let into Poland, he said, as many people as situation needs, as many people as will be necessary. So there is no cap. Border with Ukraine is open. Everyone can come. But okay. But now we see that Ukrainian rather coming back home. The more Ukrainian are coming back from Poland to Ukraine than coming from Ukraine to Poland.
Okay, so the flow has reversed. Janusz, yeah, thank you very much for joining us and telling us about the situation there in Poland. And to our nearest neighbours now, let's look at how things stack up in the UK. Vincent McAvinney is a journalist based there. Vincent, thank you for being with us. What are the rules governing Ukrainian refugees coming into the UK?
Well, there are two primary schemes in the UK. There is a family visa scheme. So if a Ukrainian refugee has members of their family in the UK, they can apply to come and live with them in the country. Or there is what's called the Homes for Ukraine scheme, which is where people can volunteer to take people into their own homes from Ukraine, but they have to they have to organise it essentially themselves. So there was a lot of slowness in the early days of this process. So people set up Facebook groups to connect with Ukrainians, and then they were bringing them in themselves. So there was accusations that the government wasn't running a really proper scheme, that there was a lot of sluggishness around this. But that scheme has taken in around 50,000 Ukrainians, it's thought, and each household is given £350 tax-free to help look after them, and the Ukrainians themselves are able to access immediately the UK's benefits.
Okay, the line isn't great, Vincent, but we might just try and carry on. The rules for Ukrainian refugees arriving there, they're different than for other refugees, aren't they?
Yes, very different. This is a specific scheme that the UK government set up under extreme pressure from the public. The government position has been particularly, of course, since Brexit, that any refugees that are travelling through the European continent should be claiming asylum in the first country that they land in safety, that they shouldn't be migrating across Europe, and particularly when it comes to the UK, the scene that currently plays out in the Channel, where people are paying gangs thousands of pounds to cross one of the most dangerous shipping straits on pretty rickety boats, which are sinking, and that has now reached in the tens of thousands of people landing down in Kent. So the UK government wants to stop that criminal practice. They were very keen that Ukrainians didn't get sucked into that. And so they did set up these two schemes mentioned, but they are taking, with this Conservative government, a very tough line on any other refugees trying to come to this country, saying they need to apply from the first country that they find safety in if they have family in the UK that they want to be reunited with.
Okay, and what support packages do the Ukrainian refugees get in terms of social welfare and social supports?
Well, the primary benefit in the United Kingdom is universal credit. It's available to them as soon as they land. That's about £96 a week, and they immediately get support with looking for jobs. There's translation support as well, and they have access to all of the other primary UK benefits once they are also working. So they do get a package almost immediately upon arrival.
How do you characterise the British public's attitude towards Ukrainian refugees?
I think there has been over the months a pretty favourable attitude. People throwing open their homes, around 100,000 people volunteered for the Homes for Ukraine scheme, willing to put people up. Of course, along the way, there's been incidents where families haven't got on, things have become difficult in recent weeks because of the cost of living crisis. A lot of the families that are putting up Ukrainians are saying that the £350 a month they've been getting is simply not enough because of rising energy costs, rising energy food bills. And so there are calls from within the Conservative Party itself that needs to be now at the very least doubled for this winter coming up. But I think many people in Britain were slightly ashamed and embarrassed of the slow nature of the government's reaction to this, only taking in a few hundred in the sort of first 2 or 3 weeks. And the process itself seemed convoluted and overly bureaucratic, people being a war zone. And a lot of talk was of the schemes that were run, like the Kinder Transport in the Second World War, when Britain did take in as many sort of refugees as possible, particularly Jewish children, and that should have been something that the government recognised that Britain was willing to do.
But now you say it's at 50,000, the number of Ukrainian refugees who've arrived in the UK.
Yes, it's estimated to be around 50,000 now.
Okay. All right, Vincent, thank you for bringing us that. Elaine Loughlin is here with me in the studio, Deputy Political Editor with the Irish Examiner. And we're going to look at our own situation, Elaine, here and what's been happening. I just wanted Vincent to reiterate that figure of 50,000 for the UK, because that's where we're at here, isn't it?
Yes, almost identical to where we're at. As of late last week, we had taken in around 45,000 people from Ukraine, 35,000 of whom are being accommodated by the state right now. So proportionally, we are amongst the highest nations, not just when we're comparing ourselves to the UK, but across the EU for that intake.
And when it comes to welfare packages, and I was asking the others this question as well, what are we currently offering people who arrive from Ukraine?
Yeah, and I suppose similar to all other EU countries, we do have a special package for Ukrainians. It's separate to those seeking international protection. So those who come here from Ukraine get the likes of child benefits. They get given a PPS number on arrival and then get the income support, so the likes of job seekers, which is roughly 208 quid a week.
And I was speaking to Kate there in Germany about the housing crisis that they're experiencing there, much like ourselves. So is there political pressure around housing Ukrainians being brought to bear now?
Mm-hmm. Well, overall, we've seen a very positive attitude, both amongst our politicians and members of the public. You know, we have that pledged accommodation. There were difficulties with it at the start, and even people who had wanted to take in Ukrainians had difficulty in going through that process. It does seem to have ramped up significantly now, mainly because we ran out of the likes of the hotel accommodation that was used initially. We are seeing, though, some rumblings. You know, we had members of, let's say, rural independent TDs calling for a cap on the number of Ukrainians that are allowed into this country. And then recently enough, over the weekend, we saw reports in the Sunday Independent of meetings in Newbridge where 30 modular homes are planned to accommodate Ukrainians on a more longer, medium term, certainly anyway, longer term basis. And residents were just a bit concerned about perhaps whether the accommodation would be okay, concerns over antisocial behaviour, concerns over whether the facilities are in place and the supports are in place in that community. Mm-hmm. And mainly the lack of consultation, I think, residents were concerned about.
The Sunday Independent said that Sinn Féin didn't respond to their queries on it, but she said in the letter that Sinn Féin supported the use of modular homes for Ukrainian families, but said, and this is a quote from her letter, the proposed sites are far from ideal. So as you say, there are concerns about services and so on in the area. Have there been any conversations at government level yet that you're aware of about how the services and packages for Ukrainian refugees are going to be, or will they be ever wound down?
I think the view of the government at the moment is that they are willing to allow as many Ukrainians who need to come here into the country, and they will support them. So the likes of the €400 grant that is provided to those who do allow people into their homes or pledged accommodation, there's no issue with that. That is not on the cards for being wound down.
In order to encourage more people to do that, they could increase it, couldn't they? They could look at increasing it.
They could indeed. But I suppose we're in the midst of the budget now. It's only 4 weeks away. Whether that can be put into any sort of a package for next year, I'm not sure. I think they're pretty happy with that €400. And what has been stressed by both members of the government, but in particular Children's Minister Roderick O'Gorman up until now, is that people who pledge their accommodation are not in it for the money. They just want to help people fleeing the war. And this is just almost like a gesture to thank them and show appreciation for what they're doing.
Tell me how the system works, the welcome service, when people arrive initially here in this country.
Yeah, well, we do know that there was a reception centre set up in Dublin Airport that has since moved to City West, where we do have that emergency accommodation. And we do know that some people are accommodated in the likes of City West for a number of days before they're moved on and perhaps maybe moved back again to accommodation similar to that now in the coming weeks, because we had 5,000 Ukrainians in student accommodation over the summer. That's obviously no longer a possibility. So even over this weekend, we had around 1,700 people leaving that student accommodation. And a lot of them, the government and the Children's Minister was hopeful that they could be moved into the pledged accommodation. But there will be some instances where people are back to that sort of temporary City West style accommodation, and possibly even Gormanstown, where we have
The tented accommodation there. Yeah. Just listening to Janusz in Poland, he was saying that the flow has reversed now, that people are going back over the border into Ukraine in greater numbers. But here we're still welcoming a significant number of people every week, aren't we?
We do seem to be. And again, Roderick O'Gorman was out last week saying that we still are receiving around 700 people into this country from Ukraine every week. Now, it was pointed out to me that we have, you know, daily flights, regular flights from the likes of Poland, and they have taken in, as was said by the contributor, millions, and are still welcoming in people, even if that flow is reversing. So that's a contributory factor as well. When the likes of other countries do change the rules slightly, we see a slight uptick as well. So there's a lot of factors there at play. And as well, we have had strong links with Ukraine and with Eastern Europe in general. So perhaps people in the first wave came here because they had mothers, brothers, sisters living in Ireland. Now those people perhaps have friends who want to come here as well. So we are seeing approximately 700 people still arriving in Ireland each week.
Okay, Elaine, thank you very much for that. That's Elaine Loughlin from the Irish Examiner. Coming up next, we're going to be hearing about the false widow spider. It's on the increase, the population of them, and we're going to hear about fears that it could wipe out our native species. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.